This is Digital Story Podcast number 787, April 20th, 2021. Today's theme is 5 Useful Accessories for DIY Photo Projects. I'm Derek Story. When inspiration strikes for a do-it-yourself solution to gear-related idea that comes to mind, I found that certain items in my photo accessory drawer are helpful time after time. This week, I'll share 5 of my favorite DIY accessories and a case study of putting some of them to use. I hope you enjoy the show. In an article I just published on Medium.com, I wrote about the handiness of my photo accessory drawer. Some folks might call it a junk drawer, but nothing could be further from the truth. I have a number of items in there that have become essential components when I'm trying to come up with a DIY solution. And I have some of my favorites for you today. These are the ones that I seem to go to time and time and time again. Now, there are more, of course, because, after all, it is a photo accessory drawer, so it cannot be limited to just 5 different types of items. But these are 5 that I think, if you had such items in your photo accessory drawer, you would find them useful when you're trying to cobble things together to make something fun, to maybe save you a few dollars or create something new. So let's start with these. And the very first one, the one that I go to often, are step up and step down rings. I reach for these all the time. And not only do they help me adapt filters to lenses, let's say that I've got a 58 filter that would be perfect for this lens, and it's a 55 millimeter filter diameter. So I dig around. And I find that I have a 55 to 58 millimeter step-up ring. Well, then I'm in business. I can use that filter, and I don't have to buy another filter just for this purpose. Plus, I can use it right away. I don't have to wait. And, you know, that's one of the things that I've really noticed, is that it's not just not having to buy something that you don't think you need to buy. It's when that bolt of inspiration strikes, I want to get it working right away. I don't want to wait. I don't want to place an order for an item from, you know, wherever, and then have to wait and and then, you know, finally gets here and, oh, right, it works. It doesn't work. Yay, go on to the next step. No, I'm not that patient. When I have an idea, I want to find out very quickly if that idea has merit or not. And that's why I like to keep some of these things on hand. Now, I have step-up rings for all sorts of different sizes that I've accumulated over the years. And one of the things that I've discovered about them is that sometimes you need more than one step-up ring. So for instance, a perfect example is going to be in the next story where I talk about using a 20-year-old accessory lens on my brand new, well, not brand new anymore, year-old, Fujifilm X100V. And I didn't have just one ring that would get me from 49 to 58. But I did have 2 rings. One went 49 to 55 and then a 55 to 58 that got me where I wanted to go. So step-up rings are nice because not only do they work individually, but sometimes, you know, you can group them together to get where you want to go. They don't cost a lot of money, and they are infinitely useful because it's not just for filters. I use them for all sorts of stuff, as you will find out in the next story. Okay, that's number one. Number two, lens mount adapters. And these became a big deal when I started shooting mirrorless because mirrorless cameras are fantastic at accepting all sorts of different lenses, especially vintage lenses. And of course, this plays nicely with my work in the film camera shop because let's say I get a lens and I go, you know, I think that's a pretty good lens and, you know, I want to put it on the market, but I don't necessarily want to shoot a roll of film with it. Well, if I have a lens adapter, then I could put that lens on one of my Olympus cameras, take some pictures, look at the pictures on the computer, and decide what I think about that optic, and it doesn't cost me anything, and the time is really fast. So I have lens mount adapters for all things leading to Micro Four Thirds. So I have Olympus, regular Olympus, SLR days Olympus, OM. I have Nikon, I have Canon, I have Contax, Yashica, Pentax, Minolta. You know, I don't buy them all at once. And this is the way that accessory drawers work. You don't buy everything at once. You accumulate and then organize, or at least keep track of, right? So I think the very first one that I bought actually in lens mount adapters was for Contax to Olympus. Reason being that I was shooting Contax film cameras in those days. I had some nice Zeiss lenses, and I was very curious as to how those would perform on my Micro Four Thirds bodies. By the way, they perform quite well. And then I think after that, Nikon, and I have some wonderful F-mount lenses that work great on my Olympus Micro Four Thirds bodies, and it goes on and on from there. So these adapters are great because if you have them on hand, and you stumble across a cool lens somewhere, then you're ready to go, right? You go, you know what? That Pentax 50mm f1.4 is a beautiful lens, which it is, by the way. I want to see how that works on my Fujifilm camera or on my Olympus or Panasonic or Canon or Nikon, whatever you happen to have. If you have an adapter ready to go, or if you get an adapter and then hang on to it, next time you run across a Pentax came out lens, you can go, hey, well, let's fire it up right now and see how it looks. These adapters are great. And I tell you, just as a side note, it is a lot of fun shooting with vintage lenses on our modern mirrorless cameras. The best way to put it, I think, is they are very beautiful paintbrushes, and you never know exactly how one is going to perform, but I almost always like it. So, a lot of fun. So, lens mount adapters are another very important thing to have in my photo accessory drawer. Third thing, cold shoe adapters. They don't have to be hot shoes. Of course, they look like a hot shoe, except that they don't make the connection. But these cold shoe adapters, they can be, you know, on extenders, they can be on a bracket, they can be on a ball head. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can, you know, mount a cold shoe adapter. And I think I've done just about all of them. They are handy. There are tons of accessories that you can mount in a cold shoe. You can have a bubble level in there. You can have a microphone in there. You can have LED lights in there. You can have flashes themselves in there. It's really kind of crazy. I even have an arm, a flexible arm that has a clip on one end and a hot shoe mount or cold shoe mount on the other. So I can slide it into an adapter or into the hot shoe on my camera, clip things onto the thing, and then put those things over in front of the lens. The flexible arm will do that. So you could put odd filters, you could do cutouts, you name it. You could use it as a lens shade. There are so many possibilities. Having extra cold shoes with the little, you know, thread mounts in them, having things to put them on, having brackets and so forth, having basically a whole cold shoe adapter ecosystem will come in very handy. Most of the time it's for lighting or for microphones, but I've used it for all sorts of other stuff. We'll pause at number three just for a second, because this isn't so much that you go out and buy this stuff like boom, 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 boom. A lot of this is hanging on to stuff as you stumble across it, either from Uncle Bob, you find a goodie box in the attic that has some photography gear in it. You run across something at in the used photo bin at a camera store. You had it in the past. You know, there's all sorts of different ways. I think the real thing here is that these sort of things are the things that you want to hang on to and know where they are, because you will come back to them if you're a creative experimental photographer. There's just things that you see that you want to do, and then you want to figure out how to do it, and these things help you get there. I do buy these accessories that I'm talking about, I usually don't buy them all at once, like I was saying earlier. I'll buy one when I need it, and then I'll hang on to it. And the next one, number four, is the ultimate example of this, and those are old filters. Old filters. Way back when, I did a podcast discussing how I never throw a filter away. And a lot of people got a kick out of it, but I'm telling you, I don't, and for very good reason. Because someday, I will use it for something. And I'm talking about UV filters, I'm talking about polarizers, I'm talking about colored filters for black and white photography. I'm talking about star-crossed filters and special effects. We know how many filters there are out there. There are tons of them. And I keep them because I will go back to them. Now, this is where having the step up and step down rings really come in handy, because obviously, let's say that you need a star-crossed filter because you want to do this thing. I mean, I ran into this at Christmas time. I wanted to create something that was a little bit more than just a shot of the Christmas tree with lights on. It was for a client, actually. Like, I want to give it a little extra something. Like, wouldn't it be cool if you had like these star-crossed, you know, lights, you know, so that all the pin lights, all the LED lights on the Christmas tree made these cool star-like patterns. I go, I must have one of those somewhere. So I go to the filter drawer. Sure enough, I had one. And it was a Kokin, actually. I believe it was a Kokin. So it was one with an adapter, and it was one of the square ones. So I said, okay, good. Now, what adapter do I have? Well, I had an adapter that was close to the right size of the lens I wanted to use, but wasn't exactly. So then what did I do? Well, then I found a step-up ring that got me to where I wanted to go. So I had the old filter, I had the bracket, I had the step-up ring, and I got the shot. And the shot turned out nice. They loved it, and they used it. They published it. Now, all of this happened in just, you know, a matter of like an hour, you know, from the time I thought, you know, figured out what I wanted to do to the time I actually took the shot. And this is not the situation where I would want to order a star-crossed filter online, pay a certain amount of dollars for it, wait for it. That's just not the way to go. Hanging on to old filters and then the step up and step down rings that go with them allow you, when you get an idea, when that lightning bolt strikes, then you just do it. You just do it and you have fun with it. The fifth one is kind of funny, but I'm amazed at how often I use it. Translucent plastic film canisters. So I hang on to the translucent ones. And you probably have some in the sock drawer somewhere or in your photo accessory drawer from film days or when someone just gave you some film. Go, you're a photographer, you probably use this, that kind of thing. There's the canisters themselves, and then there's the stuff that you can put in them. We'll start with the canisters themselves. I use them for all sorts of odds and ends. I use them as spacers. I use them as diffusers for LED lights. You know, LED lights are the little ones that you carry in your camera bag, can be quite harsh. A rubber band in a film canister, put that over the LED bulb, and suddenly you've got this beautiful glowing soft light. You go, wow, that's a lot nicer than just that LED light shining on my subject. The canisters themselves do come in handy, but then they're also a great size to put things in. For instance, I put coins in there, a set of coins, you know, quarter, nickel, dime, penny. Because why? Well, because those coins serve as great slotted screwdrivers when I'm out and about. When I have a bracket on the camera that I can't get off because it needs a slotted screwdriver, or, you know, there's a number of things, tripods, we need them. All sorts of reasons why we need slotted screws. Oh, boy, I tell you, if you shoot film, you know, the battery doors on film cameras. So I can put a set of coins in there. And of course, coins are good to have anyway. You never know when you need a few coins for other reasons. That's a set of screwdrivers. And then I put some things like some tripod screw adapters in there and some of the actual bolts themselves, because sometimes you can use those to hook other things together and they're easy to lose. Translucent plastic film canisters are useful as the item themselves, but they're also useful for storing little things that are also useful. You get very meta with this kind of stuff. And then, you know, everyone's going to have their own unique things. But if there's something that you don't want to lose, right, something small that you don't want to lose, you don't want to get down into the bottom of your camera bag or wherever you're carrying stuff around, having a film canister is a great way to hang on to it. You won't lose it, and you can keep other cool stuff in there, and it doesn't take up hardly any room. So I have other things as well. Obviously, a good photo accessory drawer is not going to be limited to 5 items. So I have brackets in there. I have gaffer's tape. I have oddball lenses. But the 5 things that I think are just, you know, the backbone of my photo accessory drawer are the step-up rings, the lens mount adapters, the cold shoe adapters, old filters, and plastic film canisters. If you've got some great ideas, if you have some things that you just love in your photo accessory drawer that you dig up every now and then, please post it on our Facebook page. I love to share the knowledge, and you know, there's nothing more satisfying than solving a problem with stuff you already have. Okay, speaking of DIY projects, I want to talk about one that I just worked on. I wrote about it on both DigitalStory and Medium.com. What I wanted to do was have a 28 millimeter equivalent lens for my Fujifilm X100V. That 35 millimeter equivalent lens that's on there is a terrific lens. And I tell you, for about 90% of what I do, that lens is fantastic. And then now, since the firmware 2 upgrade, I can use the 50 millimeter, the digital magnification, which is quite good at 50 millimeters. Now we can use it for RAW as of a firmware 2.0. So that's really nice. So I'm okay being able to get a little bit tighter. I don't use the 70 millimeter equivalent very much. I don't think the quality on that one is quite as good, but the 50 millimeter is really nice. What I don't have is being able to go wider with the X100V. And there are times when I'd really like to have that 28 millimeter width. So I started looking online and I'm looking at what Fujifilm has to offer, and they have to offer a very nice WCL X100-2 wide conversion lens for $350. And I go, okay, $350. I already have the adapter. You know, you have to have the filter adapter, which I think everyone should have anyway, because that allows you to make the camera weather resistant and allows you to use filters on it, which I do all the time, and a really cool lens hood too. So I have the adapter already, which is 49 millimeters, by the way. And I'm looking at this lens and I look at it and then I close the web page and I look at it again. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. And the spot that I came out at was I didn't want to spend $350 on this. I've got a pretty hefty list of things that I need to purchase over the course of this year, and that wasn't on there. So I said, okay, I'm just going to have to go another route. So I started thinking about it and I go, man, I wonder if I have anything in my photo accessory drawer. So I started digging around in there, and at the bottom, I had something called a Canon wide converter WC-DC58 that was 0.8x, which is exactly the same magnification as the Fujifilm wide conversion lens, which takes that 35 millimeter lens and makes it a 28 millimeter lens, 0.8x. And there it was in my photo drawer. I had bought it like 20 years ago for a Canon G1, which had a 34 millimeter lens, which also wasn't quite wide enough in certain situations. And they had an adapter for it. And this is a lovely lens, this Canon lens. I mean, it's multi-coated. It's got that pretty multi-coating on it. The optics are quality. I remember that it performed really well when I used to use it on the G1. So I said, I wonder if it will work on my X100V. So this is when that moment of inspiration strikes, and you don't want to be ordering stuff. You want to have things in your photo accessory drawer to make it work. So I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So first thing I had to do is I had to figure out how to go from 58 millimeters, which was on the back of the Canon lens, to 49 millimeters, which was on the adapter for the Fujifilm. I go, so I'm looking around and I don't have a step-up ring that goes from 49 to 58. And I go, ah, God, I got all these step-up rings. And not one goes from 49 to 58. And sometimes I do have one, but it's being used somewhere else and I forget where it's being used, you know, that sort of thing. I'll use them on lens hoods and things like that too. So I'm going, okay, darn. So then I'm looking for a way where I can put two step-up rings together to make this connection. And I did. I found a 49 to 55 and then a 58. So I go, all right, here we go. So I put those on the Fujifilm lens adapter. And then I screwed the Canon lens in and it looked cool. Just right out of the bat, I really liked the way it looked. And it balanced really nicely on the X100V. Now I have the accessory grip for the X100V, which gives me a little extra, you know, hand holding there. But just overall, it just felt really good. So I fired up the camera and I looked through the viewfinder and it focused and I took a picture and it looked good. So then I took a couple pictures and then I loaded them onto the computer and looked at them. I looked at them first, just at, you know, fit and window. They look great at fit and window. And I magnified. I went all the way up to 200%, and the things held together nicely. And I go, oh my gosh, this is going to work. This is absolutely going to work. Really excited about this. But then there was part of me that wanted just that straight 49 to, you know, 58 millimeter connection. So I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and order that step-up ring. I'll keep using these two while I wait for it to come. So I did that. And then the 49 to 58 came. So then I took off the other two and just used the one step up ring. And I did some more testing. And funny enough, the shots weren't quite as good. It wasn't quite as wide and they weren't as sharp. And with the two step up rings, they were very sharp. And I go, oh my gosh, isn't that crazy? So the two rings gave me the right amount of distance from the adapter to the Canon lens to make the whole thing work. If I had just had the one step up ring already, then I would have tried it. I would have looked at the pictures on the computer and I would have been disappointed. Hopefully I would have had the presence of mind to say, well, maybe the distance is wrong, and I would have added another step up ring one way or another. Hopefully, I'd like to give myself credit to think I would have done that, but I can't promise you I would have. I don't know. Hopefully, I wouldn't have chucked, you know, the whole project just because of that one defeat. Having the two step-up rings really worked out. Now, one thing I am going to do, and I just haven't had a chance to do it yet, is I'm actually going to try it with three step-up rings and then see if, you know, that little bit of extra distance makes it even better. It would be hard to imagine that it would be better than it is with the two rings, because it looks really good with the two rings. The pictures are beautiful. I have now my 28 millimeter lens for my X100V. It works great. I have it in my camera bag and I'm carrying it around with my other stuff in my backpack, you know, that I schlep around that has my laptop and everything else in it. And I feel really good about it. And the only thing that it cost me was the $7 for the step-up ring that I'm not using. However, I was thinking, boy, if I need to add a filter, which won't go on the front of the Canon lens, because it's got a really big objective lens, then I could add a filter in between the Fujifilm and the accessory. Maybe then that single step-up ring will be right, because then adding the filter will give it that little extra distance, which will put it at the right thing. So there's all this fun stuff to it. This is the kind of thing that really gets me going. When I solve a problem, I don't have to spend very much money, and the darn thing just works. Now, I will tell you that I went and looked on eBay. For those of you that shoot Fujifilm, I went and looked on eBay, and those Canon wide converters, the WC-DC58, there's quite a few of them on there, and they're usually selling for around $30. So if you want to play, you know, you can. Now, I also had the 1.5 converter, the Canon 1.5, which gives me a little over 50 millimeters on the Fujifilm. And I tested it, and it works really well, too, with the two step-up rings. I like having it here. I'm probably not going to carry it around because, again, the digital converter built into the X100V is quite good. So I'm okay on the 50mm. I don't need to carry around a lens I'm not going to use all the time, but it's nice to have it here. And I am going to test it against the built-in 50mm converter when I have a chance to do that. So you can just see how this thing can just keep going and going and going. But that's how I adapted a 20-year-old lens to an X100, saved myself over $300, and I'm just tickled pink. And I couldn't have pulled it off without my photo accessory drawer. All right, I have a new title on LinkedIn and lynda.com, Photos for Mac OS Big Sur. Big Sur, yes, the latest one. And iPhone Essential Training. And this one, this Photos training, is a little bit different than some of the other ones because I feel now that Photos is tied so closely to iPhone 12. As we're going to learn here in our workshop that starts tomorrow on Wednesday, there are so many things. So I actually integrated iPhone 12 into the training. And so it's really about shooting technique. It's really about workflow. It's about the whole thing. It's pretty good, I have to say. The whole thing turned out pretty well. It's on LinkedIn Learning and it's on lynda.com. I have a link to the course in the show notes. You can just go over there. Or if you're already hanging out at either of those places, just search for my name or search for Photos for Mac OS Big Sur. I'm sure that will bring it up. See what you think. I think for me, Photos and the things that Apple has built into Photos that work with the iPhone 12 Pro really are half of the equation for the iPhone 12 Pro to really get the most out of it. And, you know, we're talking about being able to change the depth on portrait mode in post. Things like that that you can do thanks to Photos. If you love your iPhone, and especially if you have iPhone 11, iPhone 12, then I think you should take a look at this training to make sure that you're getting the most out of both the software and the hardware. So it's on lynda.com. It's on LinkedIn. The link is in the show notes. It's called Photos for Mac OS Big Sur and iPhone Essential Training. Brand new, hot off the press. I hope you have a moment to take a look at it. Here's an interesting article that I found on F-Stoppers. It fascinated me because it sort of went against the grain. And the title of it is, Did You Know You Can Archive Your Digital Photos on Analog Film? Right. That's right. Archiving your digital photos on analog film. Let me read you a couple paragraphs here just to, you know, I have the link to the article in the show notes so you can read the whole thing there. Bit rot, or the slow deterioration in the performance and integrity of data stored on various forms of digital storage media, is a real concern for photographers. Over time, digital photos degrade and some even become totally defective. The best insurance against this problem may actually be analog film. Curious, huh? All right, here's what else he says. Digital photography offers a lot of advantages over the analog process. Namely, it's a lot cheaper and it allows greater degree of freedom when shooting. Images are also more easily manipulated with greater sophistication. But digital photography also has its disadvantages. One big one is bit rot. I have been shooting digital for about 15 years and already I have degraded or defective images. Now, this certainly by no means is a huge percentage of my files, but imagine if one of those images was one of my greatest shots. In some cases, the degradation is only slight, but it's still perceptible. I have some files that are totally gone. That is, they won't open at all. Bit rot is not the only thing I have struggled with in the digital realm, though. I also have just plain lost images. This has happened when I switched recording formats, computers, etc. Some photos I only had stored in the cloud and then lost when I closed the accounts, Facebook, for example. The point is, many digital photographs I have made in my lifetime are simply gone for one reason or another, from one thing or another. Others are degraded or defective, yet I have every single image I ever shot on 35mm film. My negatives have followed me halfway around the world on every move and are still as good as the day they were developed. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that negatives cannot be damaged or lost. They can. I'm saying that, in my experience, I have all of my analog images, and I do not have all of my digital ones. So it goes, your experience may be different. So then he goes on from there talking about a service that he knows of that will take your digital images and then, you know, put them on film for you. Now, these services are rare because they sort of go against the grain, and they're not cheap. He says usually about $5 an image, but his argument is, let's say that you take your 50 best images that are on digital. You do this, you get them on film, you've invested $250 on that particular number, and then you can put that film in a vault, in a safe or whatever, and it is device independent, and it should stand up for, you know, the length of time that it needs to, however long that is. So I just thought it was kind of a curious and interesting idea. If you're fascinated by this, go to the show notes, click on the article, because there's a lot more to it. See what you think. And if you do something like this, please let me know. I'd be curious to see how it turns out for you. All right, I have a little virtual camera club news. I'm going to start out with a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community, this podcast, month in and month out. I have some good things coming down the pike for you Inner Circle members, so make sure you stay tuned. I'm working on stuff. If you're interested in supporting this podcast, if you're interested in supporting this community, if you're interested in not having underwear ads on this podcast, then please go over to our Patreon site. There's a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. Click on the tile on all those pages on the Digital Story. See what's going on and become a member, become an Inner Circle member. A big thanks to those of you who have joined us recently, and a big thanks to those of you who have been with us a long time. And I'm hoping we will continue to add new members to this wonderful group of artists. I want to mention I have affiliate links on this site. They are in the articles. And I also have tiles for Amazon and B&H in the second column on the Digital Story. I also have tiles for other products such as Kalari Infrared filters and conversions. There's a tile on there for our workshops, you know, our Digital Story, our Nimble Photographer workshops. So if you want to help support the site, and you can buy something at B&H or Amazon, something I've talked about maybe, like an X100V, then if you go over to Digital Story first, click on the tile where you're thinking of purchasing it, then navigate to the product, then that helps support the site, and I appreciate you taking that extra step. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the longest-running sponsor of the Digital Story. This is where you go for anything, really, in the inkjet printing universe. It was funny, when I wrote that article on Medium.com, the previous one, Why I Print Digital Images, a lot of folks wrote and said, well, you know, I don't know what printer to buy. I like printing photographs, but I don't know what printer to buy. Well, first of all, I just did a podcast on that, so I had that. But another place to go to look at some reviews from people who test it with Red River Paper is Red River Paper. And take a look and see what they like and what they recommend. They also have things such as glassine sleeves, envelopes, ink for Canon and Epson, all the good stuff. And they're really nice people, and their paper is outstanding. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. Red River Paper, they are the folks that put the thrill and joy in my inkjet printing, and hopefully they can help you with yours as well. Right, it's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed our DIY special. I'm working on more great things for next week. Until then, be safe, stay creative, see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.